بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Now we begin with the first hadith which the author rahimahullah cited in his collection of narrations in Bulugh al-Maram, the first hadith of course in the Book of Fasting. And this is the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم ولا يومين إلا رجل كان يصوم صوما فليصم. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not fast for a day or 2 days before Ramadan, except a person who is in the habit of observing a particular fast, he may fast on that day. And this is agreed upon hadith. Ramadan, he means the month of Ramadan. And from this we learn the permissibility to say Ramadan without saying Shahru Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. The exception here, do not fast for a day or 2 days before Ramadan. The point of exception covers a man or a person who is in the habit of observing a particular fast. Then there is no harm. There is no harm. In the command of the Prophet ﷺ here, don't fast for a day or 2 days before Ramadan, it tells that this is something which the Prophet ﷺ commanded not to do. Is this command a command of prohibition, or is it a command in this case? Is it meant to be for an-nahi lil-karaha, that this is disliked or detested? Some had said that the forbiddance here is for tahrim, that it is haram. And others said that it is lil-karaha, that this is detested, disliked. Those who said that it is for tahrim said because the origin regarding forbiddance is for tahrim. So therefore, accordingly, if the person fasts a day or two before Ramadan, then he will be sinful, and his fasting would be rejected. And those who said that it is disliked also differed in this sense, because it entailed that he is not sinful and his fasting is acceptable. But there's a problem here. How can we say it is acceptable even though it is detested? Because if it is detested, then it is not considered obedience. And how could it therefore be acceptable when it is not obedience? And how could also we say that it is acceptable when the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad," whoever does something which is not in accordance with our matter will have it rejected. So therefore, we conclude with affirmation that his fasting is rejected. So this is what is apparent, that the forbiddance here is for tahrim. Of course, there is the exception for the one whom he had a habit. Now, someone may ask, why there is this forbiddance? The scholars rahimahumullah mentioned the following, that this is an order, meaning not to fast for a day or two before Ramadan. That is because in order to motivate him to fast the month of Ramadan. Second, it is said that this is to separate between that which is fard obligatory and that which is nafil optional. That is because if he continues to the obligatory, connects the nafil with the fard, then there would be no separation, no distinction. That's why we know that it is forbidden to fast the Eid. To fast the Eid. Why? So that there be a separation. And also we know that there came the prohibition not to perform the regular sunnah after the fard unless there is separation either in words or movement, moving from the same place where the fard was done to a different place. The third thing that the people of knowledge rahimahumullah had mentioned is to prevent excessiveness in worship. And also so that the person who's going to fast does not think that it is from Ramadan. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conditioned the obligation of fasting upon the seeing of the crescent. So these are the sayings of the scholars regarding the wisdom behind this prohibition. And the closest from these opinions is either the one to caution against excessiveness or lest it is to be thought to be from Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, knows best. From the benefits of this hadith is that it is permissible to fast beyond the mid of Sha'ban. Although there is a hadith that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِذَا انْتَصَفَ شَعْبَانَ فَلَا تَصُومُ. If Sha'ban reaches its mid, then don't fast, meaning beyond that. However, this hadith is weak, irregular. And either it would mean don't initiate fasting beyond the mid of Sha'ban, but this would stand in opposition to the hadith we are talking about, don't fast for a day or 2 days before Ramadan, where it is understood that it is permissible to precede Ramadan by more than a day or two. You understand? And this is from the reasons why this hadith itself being weak, it is irregular. Also, it is irregular from another angle. If we say it is for continuity, meaning that it don't fast intending continuity, this would be opposed by the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast most of Sha'ban except for a few days. So therefore the hadith when Sha'ban or don't fast beyond the mid of Sha'ban then this is weak. This is ضعيف and irregular. From the benefits of this hadith is the preservation of the limits of Sharia. That is because the prohibition as to not to fast for a day or two before Ramadan, lest someone stands up and says, I will fast as a precaution. This is exceeding the limits. How could you take precaution regarding a matter which Allah had limited and specified when He said in the Quran, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْهُ. Other witnesses the month, then let him fast. The next benefit. Whenever there is an apparent cause that clarifies what the legislator intends, then due to that cause, a prohibition can be eliminated. How this is understood? Do not fast for a day or 2 days before Ramadan. What did he say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Except, you see that? Except a person who's in the habit of observing a particular fast. So therefore, if he has a habit, then this eliminates the possibility that he is making the fasting out of caution. You understand? Is this clear? Yeah, alhamdulillah. Tayyib. Just like the another parable to this. The forbiddance, okay, with this example it will be clear also. The forbiddance to pray during the times when prayer is prohibited, the forbidden times of the day. You see that? There are times which are forbidden to pray, isn't it? However, if there is a cause which the Sharia permitted, then the prohibition is lifted. Right? Like for example, the 2 rak'ah upon entering the masjid. They can be performed even during the prohibited times. You understand? The next benefit. Whoever has a habit of fasting, then he is not prevented from fasting the day or two before Ramadan. And this has the following forms to it. It is from his habit to fast on Monday and Thursday. And it happens that Monday or Thursday before Ramadan, a day or two before Ramadan. So we say fast and there is no prohibition on you. Is that clear? The second thing. It is from his habit to fast 3 days from each month. Then he became, for a reason or another, such that he was in the situation where there is only a day or two left for him to finish the 3 days of the month. Then he can fast them a day or two before Ramadan. Is this also clear? Another situation. He may still have some make-up days from the previous Ramadan. then he completes even a day or two before the month of Ramadan. Is that clear? If he makes a vow, like for example, if such and such person comes, then he will fast. And that person comes a day or two before Ramadan, then he can fast to fulfill his vow. Clear? Is this also clear? In all of these situations we have mentioned, therefore, there is no harm upon the person to fast the 29th of Sha'ban or the 30th of Sha'ban as preceded. What about if he fasts a general voluntary fast without a cause? Can he fast these days? A day or two? The answer is no. What about if he fasts these days with the intention of Ramadan as caution? Or maybe it's Ramadan, yeah, right? Why shouldn't I fast? No. Also, from the benefits we learn from this hadith, that there are from the habits those that have influence on legal rulings. Clear? Yes, also, fast of Dawood, yes. That's a habit. Yes. This brings the end of the discussion on this hadith. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.